Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the Santa's hell. Is Thursday, and we are lit live and on the air. That's right. Radio Contra, Sons of Liberty, episode 99. We are 1 week away. 1 week away. Actually, let me back up. 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. Next Thursday, we're not going to be having an episode. I'm going to go on and put that out there 27, 28 seconds into the show. We're going to go on and put that out there. I know a lot of you are going to be disappointed because this show, I'm very happy to report because I pay attention to numbers and I look at stuff, all of that very, very closely. And I'm very happy to say that when we have a live show, it usually is in at least the top five, usually number two or number one of the trending podcasts of all podcasts. Okay, all podcasts on the Podbean platform, we are normally right up there. And of course, we're occupying the number 11 spot right now in news commentary. And, really, the reason that it's not higher than it is right now is because I just don't have the time to be podcasting all the time. Kind of like I did, not that long ago. So, with that said, though, I love doing the live and I love being here. The virtual Green Dragon Tavern is on the air and I am so, so happy to be in here with all of you. Well, I'm waiting for the rest of the crew to come on in. We're going to be breaking a bunch of stuff down. Of course, we know now, just as has been pointed out repeatedly, we know now that the Secret Service director, in her senior executive service capacity, was not being forthcoming, not being cooperative, and was being untruthful, quite a bit so. And, a lot of conservatives, your run-of-the-mill conservatives, were doing a great job at pointing out the obvious and then taking a victory lap. There's been a lot of victory laps have been taken here, and don't be fooled, okay? Do not be fooled into believing that, we're all of a sudden the Patriots are in charge and everything's okay and you can just go home and not have to put in the work. So we're going to be breaking some of that down. Don't be taking a victory lap here, folks. These people are, just as I said two episodes ago, they are in the most dangerous position possible that they could be in. Okay. The most dangerous position possible that they could be in right now, because their plans have failed and they've been called on the carpet, and there are an increasingly high number of politicians that they do not control. And so the narrative shaping here is now also becoming outside of their control. So with that said, Kim Cheadle, the former, now former, Secret Service director, I am actually not glad that she resigned her position, and here's why. She needed to remain in the spotlight. She's going to vanish into the ether, and she's going to disappear and the public consciousness is going to forget about this woman. This woman, who is not very smart, okay, she's not very smart. Her body language was all wrong in that interview. She looked absolutely terrible. The answers that she gave weren't even well-concocted answers, because she was not used to being called on the carpet in that manner. And to be quite frank, I don't believe, just based on body language, her deportment, everything about it, I don't personally believe that she expected that that House hearing was going to bring the heat the way that it did. Also, don't be so fooled about the bipartisan nature of it. This is something that I kind of filed in the back of my head and contemplated and, you know, through a little Socratic method too. And I've come up with a what I believe is a pretty solid hypothesis with that as well. And, you know, those that I've shared it with believes this also, that the reason that they were covering for action for her, or they seemed like they were bringing the heat, especially the AOC, is that they were framing a narrative for later on. One of those things being gun control, that was what she was alluding to. But also, in case anything else happens, they were alluding to other topics to try and shape that narrative, but also to make it look like there's a bipartisan attack here. There's a little bit of unity going on, because we always love that, and that is going to usher this woman off of the stage. That's exactly what they were doing, at least in my estimation, that they were able to get her off the stage, get her out of the public eye, make it look like all the yeah. heat, the walls are being brought down on her, and get her out of the public purview. That's exactly what I think happened there. In my estimation, this is what I think went down. You're free to disagree with that. That's fine. But listen, I'm telling you, folks, don't be fooled. Okay? Do not be fooled. Biden. We're going to be talking about Biden in this episode. The address that he gave the nation was strange, to say the least. It was obviously pre-recorded. I mean, you know, hey, do people wear watches with, you know, 3 hours time difference on them sometimes? Hey, you know, it happens. But that being said, it just had this real strange feel to it. Of course, Biden also looked like he grew a few inches. I don't know about all that. I don't know if they used a body double or any. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, because I can't prove any of that. But I can say that his address was very strange. It didn't seem right to me. And where we are, and I've talked about this in episodes in the past, you know, multiple times. The last live show, we talked about this in depth, is that we've gotten to a point with AI where you really cannot trust what you're seeing. And we don't know if this was an older address that was pre-recorded for something and they dubbed over a speech and altered the film to make the lips move in sync. We don't know. That technology certainly exists. It certainly exists. You see this stuff all the time, right? So I don't put any of those things past them. But here's the deal. We can't control any of that. We can't change any of that. We can't alter the wheels of the things that are, right? Individually, we can't do that. Collectively, we are bringing the heat to them, right? We absolutely are. Because if we weren't, and here's you know, not to sound Pollyanna-ish here, but I'm just going to throw this out there. If we weren't in the position we were, first of all, they would not be panicking to the degree that they are, to which they have exposed themselves. Because if we did not have the power collectively that we have, they wouldn't have tried to go to the lengths that they have to silence Donald Trump, to silence us, to go so far as to try to kill him. Yeah, I'm going to go out there and say that. I said that on Colonel Murray's show yesterday. We broke that down. how it's literally not possible. This concurrence of confluence is literally not possible. There's absolutely something more going on here. And I'm going to say where there's smoke, there's fire. And so with all that said, we know that now they're going to try and cover everything up. And here's the take on this that you haven't heard. Where is the neocons in all this? Because the neocons, we know that they'll stop at absolutely nothing, right? They're in lockstep. The DC Politburo, the Uniparty at the top, the Republicans, the neocons have been pushed out. And they are quickly losing their grasp. That's the hand that you don't see. The left-wing establishment, the left-wing of that Uniparty, is very much out there. And right now, they're fighting for their lives. We're going to be talking about the Free Gaza stuff here soon in this episode as well. Some of that, how it's totally not an insurrection yet again. But I'm going to get there. But these people are, I think, at their most dangerous right now. They are at their absolute most dangerous. And something that I put out on X the other day was in reference to the old TV show Jericho. And a lot of people remember Jericho. It was kind of a, you know, survivalist show. And they didn't really understand most
excellent
people.
Show. Lost. Excellent.
It was. Most people did not understand what the underlying plot actually was in that show. It was a cabal of government insiders, right, at the top levels, who had their hand-picked agents of chaos from various agencies. Lenny James is really famous for being in The Walking Dead, but he was also in Jericho. He played a wonderful actor. Played a great part in a big fan of his, but he was in Jericho. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. He's in some Guy Ritchie films too. But he played an FBI agent, and you didn't learn that until about halfway through the first season. There was really only 1.5 seasons of Jericho, unfortunately. But the underlying plot was that they were going to detonate nuclear weapons in the major communications hub cities across the United States to make it look like there was an attack from a foreign entity. Lenny James got cold feet, didn't set his off in Chicago, I think. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen the show. But he didn't set his off in the Ryder truck. And then he made his way out to Kansas. It was Omaha, Nebraska. Maybe that's where it was. Because they were able to see the nuclear detonation from Denver. I do remember that. I'll have to go back and watch that show, because it was a wonderful, wonderful TV show. And there was, there was certainly some corners that they had to cut because it was on network TV back in the, early 2000s. But that being said, it was still great. The underlying plot's very important here. Now, am I saying that, that art imitates life in this, at this point? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am going to say is that you had better believe that if they do not usher in some sort of chaos as a distraction for the American people, you are sadly mistaken. I'm throwing it out right now. These people have been defeated, and they have been defeated by the populist movement that has taken hold here in America, and that is you and I. That is you and I. That is every other outlet that is speaking truth to power. Okay? So with that said, that's a very powerful thing. This is a very powerful thing, that freedom is taking hold. And it's taking hold in a very big way. Populism is taking hold in a very big way. And Donald Trump is not the focal point of that necessarily, but he is rather the outward symbol of us. He is the outward symbol of all of these people who have been oppressed for a very long period of time and told that you have to be down. You're going to be downtrodden. You're going to accept what your corporate masters tell you. You're going to accept what you're being told at face value. Do not ask the questions. And if you dare to ask the questions, we're going to unperson you. That's exactly what's happened. All right. And so all of this is bubbling to the surface. Collectively, people are out there, and it's such a beautiful thing to see. People are getting prepared. People are equipping themselves. People are training. I've got a class this weekend, night vision course, starting tomorrow night. We've got night vision. We've got thermal. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff from weapon skills under NODs, observation skills with NODs and thermal. We're going to be driving with night vision two nights in a row. This is going to be really incredible. Small unit tactics under night vision. I am so, so excited to be teaching this class. Next weekend, RTO and advanced RTO, 6 days straight of training. And both of those classes are full. This night vision course is completely filled up. RTO, advanced RTO, I think I've got a couple of slots open left in that, like maybe one or two. And, you know, people are out there. I'm telling you, folks, people are out there. They're getting prepared. And the same is true across the entire training industry. What I am going to tell you to go along with that is that do not get lulled into this normalcy bias. Do not get lulled into believing that, well, it's a foregone conclusion that Donald Trump is going to win. These people are backed into a corner. They are scared, and they know that if he comes back to power, if the populists regain control of the White House and maintain control of Congress, which is what it's projected to be if we stay on this current trajectory, that they stand to lose everything. They stand to lose absolutely everything. And you're going to see a lot more about that coming out here real soon. My sources, which I can't necessarily dive into, are telling me that it's revenge. Okay, plain and simple. That it's acknowledged that last time was you know, it was playing softball, and we ain't doing that anymore. So what I'm telling you is that the DC establishment knows just how dangerous this is, and they are going to do anything. They are a cornered animal, and they know. So economically, you need to be better prepared for what I see on the horizon. You need to get yourself squared away in terms of your physical health. So you need to be pounding that pavement. I've been saying that, and that costs you absolutely nothing but a little bit of your time to do that, by the way. You know, get out there, get training. Brushbeater.store literally got everything you might need. All right. And I'm adding to that list literally weekly. We've got the very popular Ranger cards back in stock. All right. Medical equipment. I've got an expanded line now of medical gear from North American Rescue that we have in stock. Freeze-dried food, we've got in stock. Communications equipment, night vision, thermal. We got it all. All right. We got it all. So get that training, get the equipment, get out there and use this stuff. But anyhow, diving in, you know, 17 and a half minutes into this, let's get on with this show. We're going to be talking about some of the oddities with Biden and, of course, Kamala Harris. There's been some breaking news and some allegations now coming from some very credible sources regarding the threat of 25th Amendment removal. And a now very real complaint, that criminal complaint that has been filed against Kamala Harris's husband, who has Chinese agents in his employ. Okay, very real stuff. You want to talk election interference? We could really start there. We're going to be talking about the border tonight, if we can get around to that. A HVI, a very important HVI in the Sinaloa cartel, was rolled up this afternoon in El Paso, Texas. And I'm going to be shedding a little bit of light on that, having very intimate familiarity with the region and operations that go on there. And of course, we're going to be looking ahead at the Democrat National Convention coming up in Chicago, which I promise all of you is going to be very, very spicy. You think that yesterday's shenanigans in the Capitol, which totally, I was told, totally is not an insurrection, by the way. I was told it wasn't an insurrection. So here we go. Just wait until the Democrat National Convention. Boy, oh boy, it is going to be something. Anyway, with that said, Johnny Paratrooper in here. What's up, brother?
Drinking Modelo, buddy. I am pumped, man. So much shit has happened in the last 2 weeks, dude.
Hell yeah, it has.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's really just incredible, man. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't know what to say, man. Like, the Biden stepping down, I did not think, you know, I thought they had those good drugs. You know, I thought he could, I didn't think he was going to make it 4 years, but I certainly thought he was going to make it, you know, through the election. But yeah, man, he's out. But even my parents were complaining. My parents were like, Biden's just unfit. Like, and I mean, it's true. Like there's no denying that. And now, you were talking about everybody getting their act together. And all of a sudden, you know, everyone's all of a sudden like a good Boy Scout. I think getting rid of the Secret Service idiot. I mean, she didn't have any paperwork. She was totally unprepared. Like, I mean, just good grief, man.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, you know, I've had women like that in D.C. drunk, like hitting on me way too hard when I worked down in D.C. And it's like, good grief. Like that's who you are. Like, you'd never know. But there's like all the companies down in D.C. that, you know, the lobbyists and the reps and stuff, they kind of all got an attitude. It's D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. Ugly souls.
It's a real smart guy out there that says that frequently. You know? As the Trends Journal. What's his name?
Geraldo Rivera. No.
Harold Clinton.
Yeah. He was on the AJ show all the time. He's right.
Yeah.
I was in DC when he used to say that stuff all the time. I'd be like, yep, I get it now. You're right. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly right. You know, politics is it's just Hollywood for even uglier people, you know? And they don't just have ugly souls. Like, they're actually ugly. There's very few politicians that you're like, you know, yeah, that's pretty good looking, you know, lady right there. It's only a handful of them.
You remember the Virginia hot wife from like a couple months ago that thought it was just gonna thought nobody would notice or something? I don't know what she like. Who is that unplugged from reality that they don't think it's gonna end up like
she? Yeah,
now like I mean, really?
Like she was from Alexandria, I think.
Yes, that's another example of just like the kind of dingbat you would meet in that area. It's like at this point, it's like 200 years. It's just like in the blood. It's you know, it's in the rotating door of the area. A lot of people are only there for like 2 or 3 years, unless they're there for college or, you know, they're like a CPA or something or a lawyer, and they really end up in the area for like 5, 10 years.
Well, I mean, who's stupider? That woman or the politicos, the campaign cowboys that actually wrangle candidates. If you think, by the way, folks, this isn't a black pill kind of deal, but if you think that you're voting for a candidate, generally speaking, like I'm talking traditional politics here, if you think you're actually voting for that candidate, you're sadly mistaken. You're voting for the interests that are actually controlling that candidate. They're a sock puppet for something. That's the way that it goes. I mean, they bow to their donors. That's that. I just laugh because anytime that I bring that up to people, it's you know, you get your normie norms out there. They're like, do what? Somebody found this woman. So in Democrat Party, somebody found this woman and said, hey, this is going to be a good candidate,
Right. This is a good idea. Yeah, there were people in a room, and they were all like, yes. Yeah. They were like, yes. Yeah. This is, we're going to give her money, put her on TV, yes.
I can literally picture these people, by the way, who found this candidate. Okay, so you've got a frumpy girl with blue hair and dark-rimmed glasses with probably a bone in her nose or something, right? Like weird piercings all over, right? Inside the DNC, she's wearing her frumpy dress that looks like, you know, some lampshade from like 1960 that you'd find in a woman's house in you know, Ocala, Florida or something. Like, smells like, you know, cigarette smoke and broken dreams. Yeah, you know, and she's always got to be wearing black platform shoes. That's what feminists love. They love the black platform shoes. Then you have the early 20s cuck, right? You've got this guy. And all of you, everybody picturing this cat in, you know, whatever it is you picture in your mind, that's exactly him. He's the skinny fat guy with the, like, the weird hairdo. He has a real weak chin. You know, holds a coffee mug with both hands because it's the only way he ain't got enough arm strength to actually hold anything up.
He doesn't, you know, have a chin. Probably lied.
Yeah, he ain't got a chin. Like, no chin whatsoever.
The mouth goes in a negative angle into the Adam's apple.
Yeah. Yo, and all these people are white, by the way. Every single one
pasty.
Of them.
Pasty. No just, tan. I'm throwing,
No tan, like pasty. Hey, it's like Casper
like
Ghost.
Elmer's every one glue. Of them.
So Madman and I, they were crust punks growing up, and they were the kids that got made fun of in high school. And this is like revenge. Oh, yeah. This is revenge of the so that you know, it's funny, you can't forget, like, you know, six different piercings, like different size gauges, different colors. You know, they can't make up their mind about a look. You know, they got to have all the looks.
Nah, they got made fun of for a reason, though. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the uncomfortable thing about, you know, all the anti-bullying. Like, okay, so if you get a group of horses together, right, one of them's going to be the alpha. And they're going to bully the other ones until there's a pecking order that's established, right? This is the order of nature. This is how this works. But that also serves a purpose for genetic procreation. Like, you're keeping people in line to a certain point to be like, hey, this is acceptable and this isn't. And then there comes a point where it's like you're no longer genetically viable or wanted, so we're pushing you out, right? That's just the way that getting that goes. Pony. People don't like that. People do not like that. We humans don't like that fact, but it's a fact. That's what we do. And so when these people, right, when these same people that I described, they all end up in the Democrat Party. You get some in the Republican Party too, but these are mostly all Democrats. I'm describing a liberal to the T. By the way, they go, they get their poli-sci degree, right? They get their poli-sci degree, their international studies degree, and they go work for the Democrat National Convention, the Democrat Party, the Democratic Party. Now, they always have the ick at the end. It's the Democrat Party. I'm old enough to remember when it was the Democrat Party. I don't know when they changed their name, right? They come up with all their little buzzwords. That's how they found this doctor. That's how they found this woman, was that probably, you know, this same skinny fat dude that I was talking about, who, you know, Mr. Cuck over here, who the only action he's getting is from watching OnlyFans. And he literally found this woman and he's like, oh, I think that she would be good to run. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened right there. Full stop. They didn't think, and these people are stupid. Okay, I'm telling you, these people are dumb. They're not very smart, but they're just smart enough. See, this is the dangerous thing. And for a lot of people who are unfamiliar with it, they have a hard time. Like, I had a hard time long ago believing that people at the top that would end up in these positions of power we're this stupid, but they really are. They really are. And that's the thing, is that we're all human and we all have those same fundamental human flaws. And you need to understand that. And so when the Democrats are busy putting up people who may be doctors of some type, I don't even remember what that woman was a doctor of, but it was something in medical, something or another, probably an abortion clinic doctor, to be quite honest. Women's health. That's right. Women's health. No, it's not women's health. You're murdering a child. How about that? You're a murderer, actually. And you're a butcher because you got caught on camera. Your boss got caught on camera by James O'Keefe selling baby parts in California. Oh, and the attorney general at the time that was caught, inconvenient fact, the attorney general of California at the time that woman was caught, guess what? That was the one, the only vice president, Kamala Harris. Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, I love our new dictator. Oh, man.
Well,
is she going to be president by Friday? A couple of my buddies said she's going to be president like Monday or something. They texted me. Maybe Saturday? I don't know. He's like president by Friday. You'll see him this weekend. And I was like, I could see that. He's got COVID or something.
Or something. Yeah. He got something. They've literally hidden her for 3.5 years. She's been a complete disaster. Complete disaster. Top to bottom.
She can only get like 15 people at one of her speeches.
Yeah. But then again, Biden did too. And so they're going to do the same thing that they did in 2020. They're going to keep her out of the limelight as much as possible. They're going to, because they know that, I pointed this out yesterday. They know that the bulk of the voters, the bulk of the votership out there who is going to vote for a Democrat is not voting because of the candidate, because they're enamored with the candidate. They're voting against Donald Trump. Okay. They're voting against you and I.
Well, yeah, they're voting for themselves as well, because, you know, they don't want, like, everyone thinks the Republicans are trying to take away all of the bennies, like, you know, like the welfare and the stipends and the food stamps. And some people they've finagled their way into a considerable check. I mean, it almost makes you wonder why you joined the army. I mean, it's like, wow, I didn't know you could whine until you ended up just getting money put in your bank account. So
different from the 2016 election and the 2020 election, really.
Yeah.
The majority of, like, I don't know, like, Johnny, the people that grew up across the road from you and, like, up the street and across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Those people that are just, like, they're like the old married super rich white liberals. They're voting against Trump.
Hey, like, you leave those out. Former Johns Hopkins professors alone.
There was a thing going around on X the other day of a couple of boomers, you know, and we all know these types. Childless, you know, the husband looks like a complete fucking doofus. He's sitting there with a $400 bottle of wine, probably tips the waitress $5. You know, we all know these types. Like, we know
a whole gallon of gas. I love getting tipped in a whole gallon of gas.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally that is exactly who these people are. And they take a picture, you know, and there's just arrogance. It's just sheer arrogance. And what they don't realize is I love how they're trying to skewer poll results in real time. They're doing that. It's very entertaining to me to watch this, but I want to reiterate to all of you out there. I want to reiterate to all the listeners that don't be lulled by this. Don't be fooled by this either. And I'm going to say something else. For everybody that's telling you out there, oh, the vote don't matter. They're going to do. Well, so what if they do? All right. So what if they do? I understand that. But you have to get out there and you have to at least say that you gave the ballot box one last shot. Because if you don't do that, well, you know, hey, and I think the chips are going to fall where they're going to fall regardless. But that is quite literally, you have to give that one last shot. And I do think that this is that one last shot. It is really coming to a head quick, fast, and in a hurry. And, you know,
I haven't heard that in a minute. Nice.
What about
quick, fast, and in a hurry?
Yeah,
that's
yeah. There was something else I commented on a little while ago. It's like, you know, what is the euphemism for, you know, a junior soldier in the Army? And I was like, Joe Snuffy. Dude, Joe Snuffy, Stud, you know, come here, Stud. That's kind of, you know, Stud's tired. Stud's Stud this, Stud that. You know, that's real, real common.
We were called cherries. The deuce calls you a cherry. And then we had another guy that called us Ghost Rider. He'd be like, come here, Ghost Rider. You'd be like, oh.
Ghost Rider's in the sky, for sure. Yeah, that was the cherry thing. You know, obviously eating exclusive to the deuce, but that's like, you know, when you're brand new, I'm talking about just like a general statement of like, you know, Joe's and just in general out there, like junior enlisted dudes in general. It was Tim on Point Seal that does, but he's got a intel sharing thing. Big shout out to him, by the way. Tim, if you're not following Tim, you really need to be. He is putting out some incredible content, and very, very up to date, every 24 hours. And he's putting it all out. It's 100% free. It's all on X. And, you know, Tim on Point, you follow him, you'll see his intel posts as well as current events, OSINT stuff. Really, really good, man. He's as solid as it comes. But anyway, Madman Actual, what's up, bro?
Oh, just hanging out. Somebody lent me their Hollow Sun, 403C for the AK.
Oh, yeah.
I had the Lucid M9 on there.
Yeah.
But I don't have a cheek riser tall enough. And I noticed, like, unless you're really squared up on that thing, there's like a weird little effect where the dot gets a little blurry. So I threw that on my Kel-Tec sub 2000 and that thing's working pretty sweet. So
nice.
Looking for a replacement for the AK, you know, talking to Johnny about getting a not a Holosun, EOTech. I think that'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, I'm a big mini red dot guy.
For sure.
You know,
I'm trying to put a bunch of weight on that thing so it can be like my, cause it's a Wazer 10. So like, it's going to be like an RPK roll. So I want to put a bunch of weight to keep that thing from bouncing around too much.
I got you.
I have a Tapco trigger, and I don't know if anybody's ever experienced the Tapco trigger in an AK, but, bump firing is not difficult.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about a trigger slap. No.
Yeah, that trigger inspires greatness. I am a 10 out of 10, two thumbs up on the Tapco trigger. Good grief. I can't believe they're allowed to sell that thing, dude. Good grief.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Tapco's no more.
Remington.
That's why I'm never selling that thing.
Yeah, oh, no. Well, Tapco, so quick history lesson on the AK in the United States is back in 04, 05, the Romanian SAR 1 was imported. So this was like prior to the Wasar. And those guns came with, because 922R, you had to have a certain number of U.S.-made components. And the triggers that came in those things from the Romanian factory were atrocious. I mean, they were so bad. Like, they would, you could feel, so when, you know, when you're shooting an AK, the bolt carrier group that is sliding on the rails back and forth, it resets the hammer. And, you know, anybody who's shot an AK knows exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you could feel that vibration all the way down into the trigger. And so we called that trigger slap back in the day. And that was bad. It was so bad. But when TAPCO came out with the G2 trigger, and whoever owned TAPCO back then, they made a mint just off of G2 triggers because everybody had one. And like, that was the go-to. And there was a few others that came out. Like Red Star Arms, I think, had one that got real big for a while. And then, you know, obviously Geissele came out with the ALG trigger, which is excellent. I think it's, you know, probably the best AK trigger you can get is the ALG, in my opinion. But yeah, those old TAPCO G2s, those things were awesome for a lot of reasons. Bump firing's one of them.
If you're prone and on your bag with Madman's rifle, and sure, not every rifle, you know, everything would come together, but if you hold it just right and you hold onto that gun just right, it goes pop, 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 and the plate goes ding, 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 ding. And it's pretty fucking badass. It works great.
Well, it is fun.
Speaking of weapons.
Do that again.
Yeah. I got a new product here. And I'm actually holding it right now. I'm going to be, I had some early photos of it up that I put up on Telegram. So a plug for Brushbeater Radio Recon Group on Telegram's public group. Go on and follow over there, putting up content, getting current events, OSINT stuff over there. I've got some big plans for that. So, you know, we do have a Telegram channel that supports this podcast, AmericanPartisan.org, Brushbeater.store, you know, everything that we got going on. So, you know, and the conversation over there is taking off as well. But anyway, I put up some pictures of this. This is coming from a company that, you know, isn't necessarily connotated and always, you know, with the best press. You know, Bear Creek Arsenal, right? They're kind of known for budget weapons and, you know, it's anyway, so that being said, kind of a, you know, lower tier stuff. Not saying anything bad about them, but usually in, you know, at least in my opinion, you know, we're going to be looking at a higher tier generally of stuff being produced. That being said, I remember back when I was at Fort Bragg, there was a company called Moore's Machine and Tool, and that's what became Bear Creek Arsenal. One of the things that they turned out that was actually really good was their barrels. Their barrels are really, really good for the money. And usually you can catch a really solid deal on them. Well, they are turning out a Glock 17 and now a Glock 19 Gen 3 clone. And so this is, I have one of them right here, one of the Glock 17 clones in my hands. They call it the Grizzly, and it's, this one is the Grizzly 101, which is the Glock 17 clone. It has an RMR cut slide on it. The frame on this is really the biggest plus on this thing. And again, I'm going to be, I put pictures of it up on Telegram. I'm going to be doing a couple of short videos with it, kind of going over it. But the frame on this thing is really cool because that hump that's on the back of Glocks is taken completely out of this. The way that they stippled the frame is very, very well done. And I really like it. I think it would be really cool if they released this frame by itself as an upgrade to either a Glock 19 or, you know, something that you want to build yourself. I think this would be a really good platform for that. Shot it today next to its most obvious competition, which is the PSA Dagger, and I had a Glock 19 as well. Panama in the comments says 1911 profile. It's very similar to that in the hand, actually. It's very similar to that. So this thing, a couple of key upgrades, why I like this frame so much is it has the Gen 5 Glock magazine release, which is a big, big step up. For any of the Glock connoisseurs, you're going to know exactly what I mean. That's a big step up. And, you know, a lot of your competition shooters out there, like in open class of IDPA, they're going to be putting that gas pedal where it's essentially a thumb rest for your support hand. This frame has that built into it with some stippling there, which is really cool.
A dead pedal. Pedal.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, there are some quirks with this thing, and I'm going to be talking about that. You know, it does have a couple of minor improvements to it. It does not like running suppressed, so there are some issues. But, you know, longtime Glock shooters know exactly what I'm talking about there. They don't always suppress very well. That's an easy fix with a heavier spring and, running a titanium guide rod. And so, bam, but, you know, done deal. That's how you fix that. You know, not a problem. But other than that, real happy with this thing so far. 100 rounds, ran flawlessly. Until I put the suppressor on it when I was running a suppressor, which was a CGS suppressor with a Nielsen device on it for reliability. It did not like that. But other than that, gun ran great. So, you know, it's I'm really, really happy with this thing, and it's really growing on me as well. And I'm sure I throw an RMR on this thing, it's going to be that much better. So real happy with it. They're coming in at $275, which is wild. Like, that is, I don't know how you're turning out a handgun that's this nice. The trigger on this is great. You know, when I did my write-up on the PSA Dagger when they initially came out, I did a product review on one, I was not happy with the trigger, and I'm still not happy with the trigger. They're you know, PSA Daggers, I think the trigger on those is kind of an afterthought, and it's something that's easy to change, by the way.
They are.
You know, everything is compatible. Yeah, it's easy enough to change. This trigger on this thing is the best part of this handgun, hands down. This, I mean, right out of the box, first shots, I was like, whoa, damn. I mean, this, anybody that's ever shot an agency arms trigger in their Glocks knows exactly what I'm talking about here. The reset was very, very crisp on it, very crisp. And on a striker fired handgun, that's exactly what you want to look for that consistency shot to shot. And I'm happy to say, man, this thing is, because of that really good trigger, this sucker is a tack driver.
That's so awesome.
It's.
I bought. I've never really had a good experience with a Glock trigger because the Glock I built, I had to put the Wolf New York City, like 14.5 pound one, in because the 9mm I bought had hard primers. Yeah. I think they probably were rifle primers. Anyway, but yeah, even though I've heard they're the same species for most companies, but I had to. I had to upgrade the spring. It just wouldn't pop. Way too many. I had like 3 or 4 failure to fires.
Yeah. That's one course that I always wanted to get into and still want to get into and just haven't been able to. Because, I mean, unless you're the armorer for an agency, for a letterhead. Generally, this is a tough class to get into, but the Glock armorer school.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, it's not that you can't get into one. It's just that everywhere that they hold them, they fill up so fast that you just, you know, and everybody, you know, having a Glock armor certification is a real, real big deal. So like that's, and I always wanted to be able to do that. You know, my buddy Kay, Combat Studies Group, he's been to the Glock armorer's course. He's got some really funny stories about battlefield repairs on Glocks. You know, using a big ballpoint pen spring to replace one of the springs in a Glock 19 when he was in Afghanistan. And I was like, we had a good laugh about that. Like, holy shit, man. He's like, yeah, it's the same spring. You know, pop that in there, work just fine.
That sounds
like,
right.
From a, yeah, did you say from like a G2, like made in Japan?
Yeah.
The Japanese are smuggling guns and I didn't even know it. Oh man, we're definitely gonna win in Taiwan and Hong Kong. Dude. It's a wrap, dude. We're gonna be okay, guys.
Japan's got some demographic issues that's not in their favor, man.
A little war and some alcohol will fix that problem real quick.
They got the alcohol down pat. The Japanese, they drink.
You know, most cultures experience a population boom after war. That's why there's more people than there's ever been. So,
true.
But I wrote a paper on that in my anthropology class. Yeah, the teacher loved it. He thought it was hilarious. I got to talk about war for like 40 minutes and having sex. It was. Well, he gave me two thumbs up in the back of the class.
Anthropologists are generally, in my experience, they're the more cool of the humanities.
Oh yeah, they're real, man. They're like, oh yeah, all you find is pottery, and arrowheads, and it's like drinking fermented cereals and making weapons. Like, and you can find like the cores, which looks like a pork a loin. It looks like a loin cut. And like you hammer that core and you practically have almost a finished arrowhead. I mean, it's like you just need to nick the edges a little bit and you're good to go and wrap it up with some whatever you got. And it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's anthropologists are cool, man. Talking about Japan, though. If y'all haven't seen, just a, you know, kind of a heads up, maybe a little bit off topic, but I don't think it is. If you've seen, or if you haven't seen Shogun on Hulu, you need to watch. Y'all all need to watch Shogun. That is the remake of Shogun. That was excellent, and that is a show that will literally suck you in. And
is that the samurai
you
show?
You won't be able to turn away. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh man.
I'll watch it.
So I never saw the original and then watched it. And the original was very profound. Like it was a very culturally profound series. The book obviously was as well. But I think they surpassed it with this new one, and
that's
it
awesome.
It is really incredible, and I don't think the reason I don't think this is necessarily off topic is there's a reason typically when we make culturally significant programs like that and programming like that, it's to inspire either patriotism or nativism. That's the reason that projects like that get greenlit. And so I think that was this is what we do. It's sociology of entertainment.
Did you watch Cowboy Bebop? Did you see that yet? Absolutely have to watch it, dude. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Do you mean the show from like 30 years ago?
Yeah. It's like anime show.
I saw it when I was much younger, but you know, not really into cartoons, you know, unless it's like Family Guy or something.
Right on.
Anyway, saying good night to OGA Ron in the comments. Always good to hear you. It's always good to see you, man. We got to get you back on the show here real soon, man. I need some time with Ron. It's been too long since we've spoke. For sure. Well, spoke in person or via the internet. But I mean, certainly. You say you got to run. We're gonna have to do a show though, one on one. Soon, very, very soon. Maybe next week. Next week's going to be pretty intense, so it might be the following week. But anyway, getting our shot group pulled back in here. We've kind of talked about the political situation, dove into a little bit of weapons knowledge, and I want to circle over to this breaking news here. We could go into Kamala Harris, this investigation of Kamala Harris extorting President Biden in the 25th Amendment. You know, it's a fun talking point. Do I think that this is really a big deal in the long run? No. She's not going to not be the candidate. Okay. She's definitely going to be the candidate. This is the person they're putting up. Period. End of story. End of debate. The whole question about whether she's eligible or not to run, I don't want to say at this point who cares, but obviously we care, but we're at the point that the left and the establishment is not concerned about this anymore. So, okay. You know, us being very pedantic about that ain't going to change anything. Let's talk about, so we're going to shift gears here. We're going to talk about the developments on the border. And right now, we've got something real big breaking on the border. Going to be pulling this up. That is the wrong thing.
Yeah, I heard something went down in Juarez.
Well, El Paso.
I mean, we've had so many immigrants in my neighborhood, we just call it Juarez around here. But okay.
Well, El Paso, Texas is definitely, they would like a word down there. There's definite difference. So, all right, breaking this story down. I just had it in front of me. Where'd it go? Ah, here we go. All right. This is coming from X account OSINT Defender. So I'm very leery of these OSINT accounts, open source, and stuff. You know, usually you don't know what you're getting with them, generally speaking. We broke that down in the past. This said that, you know, the Ukraine flag people who are all sitting in a cubicle in Langley or Krakow, Poland, you're not getting accurate information out of them. So I'm leery of all this stuff, but now we're seeing this. I have verified this. Mayo Zambada was the boss of the Sinaloa cartel, is the boss of the Sinaloa cartel, and it has been reported that he has been rolled up in El Paso, Texas. I've cross-checked this. Everything that I have seen so far is not disputing this claim that he has been rolled up. So the last time that an HVI was rolled up, Antonio Guzman's son, El Chapo Jr., was rolled up. We saw chaos, literally chaos in the streets. That led to rolling gun battles between the Mexican army and the Sinaloa cartel, Sicarios, and Soldados. So where does this lead us now? So Sinaloa, we know, has been entrenched with the Chinese, and they've been the conduit of bringing in fentanyl to the United States. I mean, we know this. Okay, this isn't new revelation for anybody. That is what it is, right? But them rolling up the leader, the current leader of the Sinaloa cartel in El Paso, Texas, is a very wild story to me. It's not that I don't believe it, because it's everything I've seen looks like, yeah, it's legit. But the fact that he was in El Paso, Texas, is really, really, that's a pretty brazen thing. He had to have been invited there. Why he would cross the border into the United States is really, it's a ballsy move. I don't know why he would do that, but he did, and it looks like he's
been stay alive.
Well, and see, you're bringing up a really good point. It could be that he's flipped, and it could be that he's flipping on some, he's about to roll on somebody. That's really the only logical explanation.
Yeah, the whole story is there would be him and 10 or 15 of his family members are like, hey, we'll get.
I mean, it could be either way. Whenever you have a shakeup in the balance of power, there's violence. And there's going to be a lot of it. So that's another flashpoint. That might be the one that Mexico is certainly going to feel the pain. Okay, that's one that, you know, if you got people down in Mexico, you need to watch this one very, very closely, because Sinaloa is, I would say at this point, CNJG is the most dangerous of them, but Sinaloa is a very close second.
Muy very, very caliente. Well.
Yeah, this one's going to get ugly. And because he is being held in El Paso, Texas, there's a strong possibility here that we could see some spillover effects, at least on the border and along the border in the border cities. But I think that because of the proliferation of human trafficking cartel elements to literally every corner of the United States now, we might see spillover effects elsewhere. And that's going to be real serious. And that could very well be that black swan that everybody keeps referencing, like that thing that just hits you out of the blue and it spills over and there's nothing you can do to control it.
I heard that AOC sells ecstasy for the cartel. No, I'm just kidding. But how awesome would that be if next week you were like, and that turned out to be true?
I pray it doesn't, man.
Well, the way things are going, man, who knows, dude? Because...
Yeah, for real.
Damn.
I mean, we've been talking, like, they do need... They do need something to happen before the election. But then, like, yeah, man, if that happens, like, then Trump just gets more support. And I don't know. Unless this is a hell of a switcheroo and they actually won Trump in office. And this is all, like, a joke. I don't know. That's kind of crazy. El Mayo, huh?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
What is it with the month of May?
Commies love it.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, the Labor Day is it's a workers' holiday.
They don't celebrate that in Mexico.
No, but there's been a lot of immigrants to Mexico.
May's a big month with Mexico too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal. Religiously, that's a real big deal in Mexico.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're like pretty Catholic down there. They have like,
yeah,
May is like Mary's month and all that stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. If that spills over, man, I definitely only going to be like around the border. I think you're going to see like low grade stuff in the cities around the country. Cause like multiple cartels are working in every city.
Hey, Madman, did you see they're going after the criminal juvenile gangs in our area? The organized juvenile gangs. I mean, they might pass a law about like organized juvenile gangs and start prosecuting parents because there's no way the parents don't know that their 20 knucklehead kids are all engaged in crime all the time.
Well, like, no, the secret is that the parents are the gang leaders.
Well, yeah. So like, I mean, it's like Mexico. Like, yeah, it's a family thing. It's like Mexico, Afghanistan, Iraq. It's a family business.
It's the one family that has a mom and a dad, and then all the boys go to that house because there's a dad, and then he turns all the kids into his little gang members and goes rob 7-Elevens and rides dirt bikes that they just stole up and down the street doing wheelies after they robbed after they beat some old man with a brick. And like, yeah, that's
so they started targeting TikTok star. I'll give you a little of the 411. This is kind of what I heard. They were targeting social media people in Maryland that think they're cool, posting all their cool toys on social media and bragging about their dirt bikes and their boats and making all these fake like videos about, you know, fixing stuff up and like fake car videos and stuff. Anyway, they started, you know, robbing these people because they knew what they had. They didn't have to go there twice to case the joint. They only had to go once because they just studied the video footage. Well, they started busting these dudes because people that had money weren't letting it slide, is what I heard. But I don't know if that's true or not. But
I mean, that sounds like the Baltimore way.
yeah, well, a Baltimore area. So they were going to like the Eastern Shore and robbing people, is what I'm
understanding. Oh, yeah, they're going all over. Yeah, because like you said earlier, they found a way to finagle a pretty decent check, and then they go get a Dodge Charger and haul ass over the Bay Bridge, and yeah.
And drop their buddy off, and he runs, you know, across a parking lot or you know, through a wood line real quick, and next thing you know, they got a dirt bike. $5,000 to $10,000 dirt bike. Like,
there's for sure three cartels in Baltimore, and they don't like each other because there's. When I was paving, I kind of got the down low on that there was like a Mexican. There was like a Mexican cartel, but then they had like some Guatemalans working for them or something. And
yeah, I used to see him walking around and Fells Point all the time.
Like, yeah, so like you might see some gang warfare stuff flare up in the cities, but honestly, I mean. It's probably not going to hit the news just because it's just going to be another gang shooting.
Yeah, that's just going to look like people getting drunk and doing stupid shit because they were told to or egged on to it.
But I think this has...
And then,
well, I was going to say, this has major implications for domestic politics. Like, we're talking about the cross-border crisis and how it's going to affect the cities and not just on the border, but like you said, in Baltimore and other places. This has serious domestic policy implications because we have Mrs. Oh my God, I'm suddenly not a border czar, but I'm a border czar. If it flares up on the border during campaign season, for one, they're going to run all the ads about how, you know, Kamala was in charge of the border, and now all this violence, despite the fact that copious amounts of evidence we already have.
Hey, that's a good way to swing it. She's got to own that now. The Trump campaign can hit that. I think they're going to go hard on the Willie thing, but
I don't think so. I think they're going to hammer on the southern border. They're going to hit policy, not person. I think they're going to go hard on the southern border. Yeah. And then on top of that, right, we already hear these stories about the inner cities not being as blue as people think because you know what? The legal Hispanics and the African Americans who live there and the Indians and all the ethnic minorities who live in some of these areas where these illegals are getting bussed into, they're not happy when their kid has to study from home because the school in New York
is being used as a spot to house illegals.
Or your daughter can't even go to school anymore because the kids are so fucking aggressive.
Correct. So I think that that's going to not – like if they have that message in it being like they're seeing violence in the city, right? These people are going to see, you know, for lack of a better word, Hispanic on Hispanic violence for whatever cartel they're at, whether it's Mexican or otherwise, right? Because we got plenty of South American ones that are also going to be in the mix now going for power in the city thinking, hey, the head of this snake is lopped off. They're in fighting. This is our chance to gain territory. It might really drive home that the law and order candidate and that the one who wants to secure the border is the way to go because their areas are becoming unlivable. So there's really two things here, right? There's one, which is foreign policy implications and the violence implications just at a base, but also how does this affect the wider narrative around the election, which I think, depending on how this plays out, is going to be interesting. Because if you have the Border Patrol, who's, you know, who say that they're the guys who rolled this guy up, right? And they're rolling up other people and they're saying, hey, also they come out and they've done it in the past. Like, hey, our union's endorsing Trump because he's the guy who's going to secure the border. There's only so much messaging they can do against that because we have enough video of her being told that she's the one in charge of the border. And so if they're smart, they're going to hammer that issue because that's the number one issue in America right now is immigration. Immigration and inflation are, based on what poll you look at, are top two. So if they hammer that angle, particularly with like, hey, look, our southern border is so porous, we just captured a
top figure. So the inflation issue, I don't think is that big a deal because I think that's how people get these big ass like welfare checks, all the welfare checks, or if they give like credit for like housing credits or whatever, you know, however they work, game it. Every state's a little different, but.
But they're not all chained to CPI.
I just don't see them. I don't know, man. The Democrats, I'm sure, are making a ton of money off of this expensive gas and expensive food.
Yeah, but remember, we're talking about. I mean, there's kind of two different demographics we're hitting here, right? So the inflation thing, whether it's one or two, whatever, it's hitting a lot of middle class, even some upper middle class families, and of course the lower class too. But I think on their mind is more going to hit with this immigration. And the fact you have two top-level Sinaloa drug cartel figures in fucking America, like, how porous is our border? Like, okay, you can let the random MS-13 guy who has, like, a charge in Honduras get through. Okay, I get it. Like, he slipped through. These guys, we know who they are. How the fuck they get through? So it completely destroys any narrative of security on the border. And I think it really... this is a problem. This is a real problem for the Harris campaign.
I hear you, but at the same time, they got through, but they did get caught. So, like,
sure,
that's going to be the counter. You know what I mean? Like, well, we caught them.
Okay. There's a counter to that.
It's not going to be until they're having gang wars like spill over in like in Baltimore, we have the Inner Harbor. So like all of the rich college people that move there, that are like there immediately after, that's like the go-to move is like go to college, move to right around Baltimore's downtown area, like Canton, Fells Point, the Hill,
Federal Hill,
and then Federal Hill. Jeez, I can't remember. Brain fart. Too many whiskeys. So they move there, but then inevitably they move out because literally my buddy moved out specifically because he said, quote, I'm tired of my fucking car getting broken into.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm tired of hearing gunshots and then sirens and like, you know, my wife is like shit in her pants every night. Like, I'm tired of dealing with it. And then they move pretty far away. You know, not so far that they can't work in the area anymore, but they move the hell out of the city. And it usually takes them like 2 years before they really get tired of it. I don't know if it's because they spend so much money moving down there or what, but it's the same thing. Like, these people aren't going to understand it until it's at their front door.
No, dude, unless you know how to fight, you should not be walking around Baltimore when it's dark out, because somebody is going to inevitably try to pick a fight with you.
For sure.
I'm not saying they're going to stab you or kill you, but like, you're going to run into somebody that's having a bad day. And then there's the aggressive scammers and the panhandlers. And I mean, it's just like every time you go around a street corner, you got to look over your shoulder, and it comes in waves. But yeah. The it's still warm out. That much. That's, you know.
Damn. Yeah, when it gets cold, they all go inside.
Yeah, they go back home.
And then they don't come back out until it gets warm again. that's seriously.
No, like, I know.
That's real. The real thing.
Yeah. So, you know, either way, while we were chit-chatting, there has been yet another development. I've got it here, right here.
Ooh la la.
So, Johnny, you literally called it. Well, we kind of both were right on this one. So this is and I'm reading here the account All Source News. So this is a major development from multiple anonymous sources. So kind of take this at face value. Joaquin Guzman Lopez willingly turned himself in to U.S. authorities. Mayo Zambada, however, did not, but was captured. The implication of this, Joaquin Guzman Lopez assisted U.S. authorities in capturing Mayo Zambada. That's a huge deal. Yeah, that is a huge deal. And so now, with that,
if he turned himself in, okay, so for those that are unfamiliar, it's not like the movies, okay? When the bad guy turns themselves in, they are absolutely crying, spilling the beans. They're fucking totally handing you everything. Because, and I mean, it looks authentic to me. And as just the lowest ranking guy in the room who was holding a machine gun or a rifle to somebody's head or just kind of casually pointing it at them. And by casually, I mean like low slung, but definitely pointed at that dude's like chest, like casually, like. There's a way to make it look like you're threatening without being threatening. Anyway, yeah, those dudes hand you everything. And so, there's going to be roll-ups. I mean, there's got to be actionable intelligence. Because when you go to when you've been a bad guy, you can't just go to the good guys and be like, I'm sorry. It does not work like that at all.
No, I concur. I was down in the comments saying, you know, concurring with what a few other people in the comments section were saying. You know, usually when you have a source that flips, they're not doing it because they just had a change of heart of their own accord. Usually it's because they either caught wind that they're getting ready to get killed, or somebody has double-crossed them to such a degree that they're willing to burn it all down, which is usually that's very rare. Very, very rare. It does happen. That's very rare. Usually it's because, you know, you're gonna get before you get got.
Basically. So it sounded like I was trying to follow. It's so one of the guys gave up willingly, but the other guy did not.
Yeah.
They rolled up together?
That I don't know.
Or was like somebody invited
willingly?
What I'm thinking.
That's what I mean. Did he get double crossed? Like, yeah. Whoever didn't give up got double crossed into, oh yeah, we're gonna go here and meet so and so, and then that's fucked. That's gonna start cause infighting too.
Yep. That's super exactly about that. That is exactly what I was about to say. Is that's going to kick off a schism? This could be exactly what a certain political machine, I'll say, is looking for. This thing could have been it could be part of a bigger op. Maybe, you know,
just like Guzman's been. Mario.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know.
Exactly what they did.
That is what they did. That is what they did. And, you know, maybe they want to kick off violence. Maybe they want that. Maybe they want that infighting. I don't know. But what I am going to say is there's a lot of this that we don't know. Stuff's going to be coming out about this. But that I'm just going to say that we are wholly in here in the United States, we are wholly unprepared for a level of violence like what they see and what they have seen historically in Mexico. We're not prepared for that. We're not prepared for that socially. We're not prepared for that in terms of infrastructure. You ain't ready for that. I'm just telling you right now. And there's a whole lot of people that say out there, oh, that'll never happen here. That'll never happen. Hey, I'm here to tell you, yeah, bullshit. That could actually very easily happen here.
Nope.
And it can happen overnight. And you know, that thin veneer of civility that, you know, you think is out there, Mr. Joe Suburbia. I mean, I'm telling you, you have no idea. Like, those of us that have been overseas and we've seen it, I mean, I'm just telling you, time travel from the future here.
I watched two villages go to absolute war with each other over, like, really dumb shit. Like, some goats.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, those goats meant, like, their way of life, but still, like, they killed the shit out of each other over one or two goats. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was like a multi-week little fucking thing they had going on. And it was one side of the mountain versus the other side of the mountain. And every time we went up there to look for some big baddie, all we saw was just like Afghans shooting at each other and like launching old mortars that never went where they wanted them to go. But I mean, they were shooting at each other. I don't know if they have, like, we didn't pay that close attention, but like, they were definitely blowing a lot of stuff up and shooting the shit out of each other.
So, as someone who speaks for the civilian people who live in suburbs, I can tell you that the people around me have no idea. They live in such a normalcy bias that they can't comprehend it because it's not even in the frame of reference in their mind of what any of this could mean. And that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to try to explain this to people. Because they have their brains can't compute it because they've never seen it, never experienced it, never even dreamt it. I mean, it is something that happens there, not here. And yep. So for you know, and again, I'm a city suburban guy, but I know and can imagine, and I haven't experienced it, but I can understand what's about to take place. Yep. People who haven't thought about it ahead of time don't have any friends. People who haven't seen the videos or heard the stories or seen the images of what something could potentially turn into, even if it's something as simple as just because of this, a breakdown of services, a la like Haiti, like people have a normalcy bias and they can't comprehend what is possibly on the horizon. And that's right. Terrifying because people are panicky individuals. And so you don't know, it's hard to predict if the things that we talk about come to pass, even at 25% or 10% capacity, it's hard to predict what the response from the general public would be because it's going to break their brains, like fundamentally break the paradigm they live in. And it's just a fact. And so if you're someone like me who lives in an area like that, you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah. Nah, 100%. I think that you put that very, very, very well. You know, it's – and so I want to shift gears a little bit. It's related to the exact same thing. It's just kind of a – we're peering into the crystal ball here, literally just – a couple of weeks away, 3 weeks away to be exact, going into the Democrat National Convention. So we got a little preview. This is something that on this show I've been saying, we've all been saying for a while, the Republican National Convention was going to be pretty calm, and it was. There was a couple of little protests here and there, but you didn't really see. I mean, at one point, there was, you know, one little tubby girl out there with a loudspeaker by herself. You know, I mean, get out there, girl. Do your thing. Congratulations. One is the loneliest number. You know, anyway, you know, it's really pitiful. There was only one girl, only one protester. That's really pitiful. They couldn't even get more than one. But there she was. She kind of looked like Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know. But anyway, enough with the jocularity here. But going into the Democrat National Convention, we're literally 3 weeks out from that. And we got a little taste of this yesterday. Benjamin Netanyahu came. He spoke before Congress. You have a lot of people on both the right and the left, you know, who are vocal opponents of, you know, Israel's actions in Gaza. It's kind of neither here nor there. But this is a very unpopular war. There's a lot of unpopularity now growing. Kind of the fever pitch coming after, you know, the weeks after October 7th has kind of died down in Israel. And a lot of the left-wing Israelis are in staunch opposition now and solidifying that. So I think Netanyahu's found himself into a bit of a political jam here. But, you know, neither here nor there. Again, that's kind of outside of the point that we're making here. But we saw an actual insurrection in D.C. Of course, we were told that this wasn't an insurrection. Of course, there were five people who were arrested. Charges had been dropped. And they were assaulting Capitol Police officers. Right? It's not like January 6th, okay, which really no Capitol Police were really physically assaulted. Don't give me that shit. Okay, any of you liberals out there that say, oh, but yeah, but there was it. No, one guy killed himself. Another one died of a heart attack. Don't stop. Like, just stop. It's bullshit on its face. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Okay. And the FBI went after people's cell phone data, extrajudicially, by the way, and engaged in a fear campaign against anybody who was there, anybody and everybody who was there, right? And that became the talking point of the left going forward, right? You still have the boomer leftists out there that will use this talking point, and you just like, just shut up, get out of my face, tired of it, tired of you, you know, we're tired of you existing on the same earth with me, to be quite frank. You've outlived whatever usefulness you ever had. Go enjoy your $400 bottle of wine. Just get the fuck out of the way, right? And your own, by the way, your own base of your party is telling you people that, okay? Your own Democrat base is telling you people this too, because they took the person that you voted for and you installed and cheered along in not one but two stolen elections, and they literally ran a coup on him right in front of you. So I don't want to hear it. Okay, I don't want to hear it. Of course, the kids are not all right. Those same not all right kids were out demonstrating. They burnt American flags. Okay, we saw that. They tore down the American flag at the Capitol, burn it. They desecrated the Liberty Bell. All right, we saw this. We saw pictures of it, but we were told this is totally not an insurrection. It's totally not an insurrection. They went into the Capitol building. They disrupted the Capitol building. Totally not an insurrection. I was told that was insurrectionary to do that. Unguided tours were totally insurrectionary, but they drop all the charges on them. Of course they did. Of course they dropped all the charges on them, because you don't have equal representation of the law, folks. Of course, it's calling a spade, the same water is wet. We know all that. Let's talk about the road ahead. That was a small taste of what's getting ready to happen in Chicago. That pump has been primed. And here's the other thing. Okay, here's the other thing that goes along with that. So the shooting in Springfield, Illinois. You have two white officers, sheriff's deputies. One of them had a very, very checkered past. And, you know, probably most of you have seen that shooting video. If you haven't, please don't. That's, you know, not something that you want to watch. It was indefensible. That guy is going to fry for that, as he should. And I think that the other officer that was in there, he's going to be named in a civil suit, and he is going to be unemployable after this incident as well, even though he's not facing any criminal charges at this time. But a civil suit's different from criminal charges, right? And they've got, you know, you can love him, hate him, indifferent, whatever. Ben Crump, who is the attorney representing the victim's family, has a very long career of being successful in that field. And so they have all that momentum behind them. So you have that. You have a charged atmosphere. You have the left at the grassroots level who is really, really not happy with the oligarchical nature by which they have literally anointed Kamala Harris. Her record as a prosecutor, her record as a politician in California is indefensible. She's very, very unpopular, but they have put her in there anyway. You have third-party candidate Cornel West, who has been one of the more influential voices and philosophical forebears of the Black Lives Matter movement, who is very vocal in his criticisms as well as his opposition to the Democrat National Convention that is about to take place in Chicago, right? So Springfield's not very far from Chicago. You've got all that momentum there. You have Barack Obama himself not formally endorsing Kamala Harris, which I think is very telltale as well. The pump is primed here for some really, really vicious things that I think that we're about to see. And when I was discussing this yesterday with Matt Williams on, we were talking about this, you know, and he was saying that basically these leftists aren't going to vote. They're just kind of really more interested in burning the whole system down. I don't necessarily agree with that assessment in all ways, but hey, that's okay. I'm just saying from what I see, these people will engage in the electoral system if it benefits them, and they think that it will. I'm not so sure that they're going to do it in this case. They might sit this one out because, as he stated, his justification for that follow-on qualifiers was that, if you didn't listen to that show, you should, but was that a Donald Trump presidency is actually going to be very, very beneficial to them from a recruiting standpoint. And of that, you know, 100%. That tracks with every radicalization model that we've ever observed. So, and that's something that I've said over and over again, is that second Trump presidency is going to give them their reason for being. And that's when their revolutionary activities is going to go full bore into a kinetic fight. Anyway, I was running along with that. The DNC projections for Democratic National Convention. How crazy do you all think it's going to get?
I think they're going to do a good bit of damage. Definitely spray, like, I mean, it's like, it's probably going to follow every other riot where it's the mostly peaceful, legitimately mostly peaceful during the day. You know, bullhorns, chants, drums, flags. But then as soon as everybody starts taking drugs and the sun starts going down, it'll probably get stupid. And I think, so I actually listened to that podcast with Matt Williams today. And I agree with you, Scout. Well, I agree with both of you. But I agree with you in the assessment that they're going to, or was it? It might have been Matt where he said, yeah, there's like going to be a lot of factions there. Like everybody's going to kind of show up. But they're not going to fight, but they all really don't like the police. So it might get stupid early. I don't know. It depends on what the police do. It is Chicago. Chicago is not known for being the most conservative place. So they might let them run wild. But then if they let them run wild, it might do the opposite where nothing really crazy happens. So I guess it really all depends on if the cops come in hot and heavy with the riot gear and start wailing on people, you know? But I think they're going to be looking for a fight for sure. So if they have the opportunity to fight, they're definitely going to fight.
Yeah, 100%, man. Talking about Chicago, this is putting Brandon Johnson, the mayor, in a very interesting position. Not unlike Eric Adams in New York City, where he's essentially having to gin up the very same base that got him elected. But he also has to give lip service to his officers, you know, and his firefighters in the city, because they're turning, but they've already turned on him. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch how they manage that chaos. I don't think they're going to do a very good job of managing it. It's just, you know, throwing that out there. It's going to be unbridled chaos. And I think that for the militant left, this is going to be their show of force. This is going to be their major show of force that they are putting out there, that, hey, we're here, we're not going away, and we know that she's a lame duck candidate. And when Donald Trump gets elected, all bets are off at that point. So, Johnny, Patriot Man, what do y'all think?
I'll jump in. So I agree with both of you that it's going to be spicy in the DNC convention. It's interesting when you have BLM tweeting against the fact that Kamala is the basically selected choice because they wanted an open convention. So at least the BLM leadership, if you can call it that, is not happy with Kamala. Not that they're not happy with her as a candidate, but not happy that she has just been anointed. That has been no democratic process. You also hear that this is going to really affect, I think, what happens at the DNC. There's talk that they are going to virtually nominate Kamala before the convention so that there is no nominations from the floor. I think this is one of the main reasons Obama has not endorsed. I think partially because he wants an input on who the VP will be. But he has expressed in a roundabout way concerns about her electability. And so I think he's thinking of his political capitals. That's why he's not endorsing Harris at the moment. So it's going to be interesting, because I've said from the beginning that the best thing for the left is a Trump win. It's the best thing they could possibly ask for, because then the people they control at the Fed can start collapsing the economy on him. So it's a Republican watch that collapsed the economy. It gets rid of a cult of personality. He's, after 2 years, a lame duck president. He's going to be 80, whatever he is, 81 at that point. He's got his guys in the wings, but he's no longer a candidate. He can't draw the same attention and crowd that he would have in his last 2 years, which they've already proven they can successfully stop. In his previous administration, they're able to stop. So I think the leftists are going to go crazy. I really do. I think they are going to let, I mean, think about the fact that we had Netanyahu come speak and they did all that things.
I'm sure they're quite aware that Kamala Harris's husband is Jewish, and that one of the people she's considering for VP, though he's fallen in recent days, and I would argue solely because of his religion, is Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, who's also Jewish. So
shitbox.
I think it's gonna be real spicy. I think the leftists don't care, because to them, the Dems are only a means to an end. They don't give a fuck about the Democratic Party. What they see is, if we get Trump in office, we have absolute carte blanche to do all the wild shit we want, and every leftist DA, because they hate Trump so much, will cover our ass. And then they'll just play for 2028. They're playing the long game. Remember, these are young people. They're sitting there going, we don't care what the boomer liberals want. You know, the wine sipping, I have 12 cat women want. They are playing the long game, which is basically the overthrow of the U.S. government into a socialist regime. So to them, Trump winning in 2024 is only a roadblock. It's just okay, cool. Scout, to your point, you said it's a recruiting. Come resist that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're going to have the legion of people come up. I'm going to resist that. I mean, you saw it in 2008. I mean, the whole yes, we can thing, that was a very mild version of, hey, Obama was a threat to the system. Hey, come join this. We're going to change things. Right? It was all about change. They're doing the same thing now that they did with millennials, with Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Now, Gen Alpha has smartened up a little bit, but Gen Z is hook, line, sinker into this. So I expect some spicy times, and I really think that they don't care if it makes their party look bad, because their party is not the Dems. The Dems to them are, they might as well be Republicans. They're just useful because they have people in power, and if I get arrested, they'll bail me out or drop charges. So I am very interested to watch the body cam footage of this. And I think it's going to be a interesting what comes out of this convention, which, again, hinges on, is it open or closed? Is it Kamala? Do they allow nomination on the floor? There's so many variables that you can't accurately predict what's going to happen, but you just know it's not going to be the what I thought was a fairly beautifully scripted RNC. I thought they did a pretty good job. Some of the speakers I wouldn't have necessarily wanted, but you know what? I understand what they're doing. They're trying to spend, they're jettison social conservatism to make a wider tent, but I think that this one, they're willing to burn it all down. And it's what comes on the other side of that. Like, I can't make a prediction for 2024 election or anything after DNC, because that really is going to determine how the rest of that goes.
Yeah. I want to echo something that you were saying about the RNC real quick, is that there were some people I feel should have spoke there and were not invited to speak. And I think that was a major disservice. Chief among them is Scott Pressler.
Scott Pressler should have
been invited.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Like that, the fact that he was omitted, and to my knowledge, nobody contacted him to speak there. That's not okay. Because this man has spearheaded the ballot harvesting effort on the right, on the Republicans. He is single-handedly taking that crusade, you know, a very Herculean task on his part to try and rectify that, to go toe-to-toe directly with how the Democrats are quite literally cheating in these elections. But hey, you know, if they're doing it and they're getting away with it, that's what your enemy's doing. You match those tactics. You hit them, you know, head to head. And he's doing that. And he's you know, he's really, really done a great job. Now, you know, as far as things in his personal life, whatever, I don't know, because I don't know that much about the guy. I'd look at things in terms of results, and that guy's getting results. That's somebody you, because if for nothing else, he gets up there and he says, hey guys, this is what I've been doing and you need to do this too. Bam. You know? So, I mean, I didn't want to change the topic, but that was something that kind of grated on me. There was a lot of good presentations coming in into the RNC, out of the RNC. There was, you know, the Hulk Hogan thing, while it was entertaining, there's that, but you know, it was a little frivolous.
Even Trump kind of had this is funny, but like, all right guys, this, we got to be serious. Like, this is a serious thing. We gotta, you know, but then again, some people are still being absolute goofballs about everything, so I don't know, you got to appeal to them.
I mean, Hogan was serious though. That's the thing. Is that you see, like, he is his character. Terry Bollier is Hulk Hogan. That is his character. There's no differentiation there. He has lived that kayfabe so long that that's him. And that's just, you know, that's his identity. That's who he is. He ain't going to change it. You know, it's whatever, man. I mean, that's cool and all, but. You know, I think that if you're going to invite somebody like that, Scott Pressler's a huge, huge, huge deal on social media.
He's done things like he spearheaded several Florida counties flipping from blue to red. He just announced the other day one of the suburbs of Philadelphia, in terms of registrations, he flipped from blue to red. And he doesn't. He just goes out there and just says, hey, here's the deal. I'd like to get you registered. Here's what we stand for. And he'll tweet things like 20% of Pennsylvania hunters aren't registered to vote.
Yeah.
He goes, so if you know someone who hunts in PA, ask them to register to vote. If not, here's the instructions. That dude has done more to move our cause forward than anyone at the RNC has done in the last 5 years. And right. He tweeted every day at Rana McDaniel, good old Rana, literally for like damn near close to a year, being like, hey, put me in charge of your thing. I'll do it. He was basically saying, don't even pay me. I'll just do it. And wouldn't right. respond. He is that man. If we have any victories this cycle, like true victories in some obscure county, it's because that man did.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. 100%. You know, so shifting back to the DNC, I mean, RNC's in the rearview mirror. Yeah, it was what it was. There was a lot of energy that came out of it. There was a lot of really, really awesome things. You know, the conspiracy crowd is really throwing a lot at J.D. Vance now, and you know, exploring the Peter Thiel stuff. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you straight. This is how I look at the world. I take everything at face value. Okay, everything at face value, and I also look at, because I know that when you get to that level in politics, you don't get to that point by being squeaky clean. You certainly don't get to that point by not working with, you know, anybody. You don't get there. Okay. So with Peter Thiel and all that, this is something I explained on my forum early this morning. And I was making this point regarding Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, to really the same degree, is that with politics, politicians are hired for their position based on part of some economic interest, right? And that's what they represent at all levels, whether it's a local level all the way up to the federal level, right? They may have a degree of autonomy, but there's a interest that they serve there. This is exactly how politics work in the closed doors. They have their public persona, then they're really taken from the donor class. And we don't like that. You know, it's street level. We don't like that. We don't like admitting that. But it's no doubt true. And this is true of everything. This is what motivates people to do what they do. So this shouldn't come as any surprise. With Peter Thiel, a lot of people are very leery of him, as they should, because that's how we evaluate people, and that's how we make a judgment. However, you have to understand too that competing interests in the United States are what is propelling us forward. Right. And that's propelling us forward socially. It's going to bubble up into the social dynamic as well. And so the only way out of where we are right now, this conundrum that we're in, that I see going very ugly in a hurry, is through literal, like we have that political change and there has to be accountability. Right. And if he is part and parcel of the vehicle that allows for that legal accountability for the egregious political wrongs that have happened for at least the past decade, and getting this bureaucracy first limited, right? Much of this needs to be curtailed, and there has to be accountability before the public will begin to gain any amount of trust in their institutions. And I just don't see that happen. It certainly isn't going to happen on its own. Until that point, if Peter Thiel is part and parcel of helping in that, then certainly, take it at face value. If that's something that is benefiting the larger cause of freedom and getting our country back on the right track, embrace it. You know, doesn't mean you have to agree with somebody in totes. It's the same with Elon Musk. You don't have to agree with a guy in totes. But if through his aid that is helping in the overall objective, then, hey, what's the harm in that? There is no conspiracy, okay? Just look at things at face value, you know? Now, unless we're talking about, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, that was absolutely a conspiracy. There's just no way. There's no way that literally everybody there, I'm just saying it again, there's no way that literally everybody there forgot every single protocol and every single thing that they were supposed to be doing that particular day and forgot some close protection details and how that works, the nuts and bolts of how that works. They forgot literally everything. No, sorry. Didn't happen. Anyway, 9 minutes, eight and a half minutes left on the clock. Always fastest 2 hours in podcasting. This is really crazy. But we are running short on time. Final thoughts in this episode before we close everything out.
Madman, you go first.
I'd say, if you live in, I don't know how to put it, like more rural than suburbs, but not rural, I think that's like the gray area of whether you're going to see shenanigans coming up to the election. If you live in the city, you're definitely going to see a bunch of disruptions. Expect to sit in traffic and maybe have to turn around and go a different way. Rural areas, I think we're still all right for a good while. I don't really see anything. Like I do a little check around my neighborhood. And by neighborhood, I mean like the 3 square miles around me. I go into town, just kind of people watch a little bit, drive around. I take my son, teach him like, hey, this is what we're looking out for. And I, finally asked me, he's like, Dad, we're like, what are we looking for? And I was like, well, we're trying to see who's American and who's a communist, buddy. And then he got it. He was like, oh yeah, look at those people over there. They're looking like weirdos. I was like, yep, that's, son, you're doing great. This is exactly what we're looking for. But there's like a handful. I think most rural areas are probably similar to mine. So just keep an eye out and see who's around. See if you see new people. And because that's what they do. They ship people around. They all come from the Portlands and Seattles and all the Northwest coast. A lot of them come from there for some reason. And then they kind of like deploy. That's pretty much what it is. It's deployments for them. They go to these protests. They protest for a couple weeks. And then they're like, all right, I'm tired, poor, and I got to go home. Just keep an eye out in your area. I'd imagine that if anything comes from this cartel stuff, we're going to see it in the next couple of days. They're not going to waste any time fighting over who's in charge. Because they, you know, it is a gang. They all have their own little, like, favorites, you know. You have your favorite manager or favorite. When we were in the Army, like, everybody had their favorite squad leader, even if it wasn't yours. Or platoon sergeant or company commander, like, same kind of thing in the cartels. Like, Matt, you were saying the other day, the other day with Matt Williams at Knightsbridge, it's really reminiscent of the military, the gang culture. There is a hierarchy, and everybody's got their favorite mid-level guy that could make it to upper level if one of the upper level guys is gone, and now there's two of them gone. So, I'd expect a bunch of shenanigans for the next. I told my wife, you know, she asked me, she's like, you know, what the fuck is going on, actually, is what she asked. And I was like, hon, just expect nonstop emergencies for the foreseeable future. Like every 2 weeks is just going to be a new big giant emergency thing that's a big deal. And just expect that for the foreseeable future. And until it reaches our little corner of Pennsylvania, don't really let it bother you so much. And that's advice for everybody, I think, you know, prepare for it, you know, don't ignore it, but, don't get up in a tizzy about it until it's close enough to do something.
Yeah. I mean, I totally echo that. I think for me, the takeaway is just, you know, how quickly things can shift. You know, we're talking all this time about these, you know, obviously last podcast, we're talking, okay, you know, what does the attempt mean? Now we're talking Harris. What does that mean? This person at the border, what does that mean? Stay cognizant of what's going on, but don't let it affect your life to the point where it's detrimental. We all need to be like your main concern should be if shit goes south, what is in my current AO, you know, what is going on? But understanding national trends, it can be a blessing and a curse, because it's a blessing because you can kind of read something that's happening like this. We see in this thing with the cartel, and all of us are already thinking about the second and third order effects, and most normies aren't. So it's a benefit. But also, we might see a lot of these headlines and feel like we're in a helpless situation. We're overly frustrated. You just can't understand why this is happening. I think with the barrage of news that we've had over the past 2 weeks, we all just need to take a deep breath, right? Take a deep breath and say, okay, now that I know what is going on right now in our country and in the world, let me reevaluate what my preparedness is and what my plans are in light of new information. So given the assassination attempt, given the Biden dropping out, given this, how does that affect me locally? And how can I adjust or maybe not adjust what I'm doing? Because we can't let the anger and emotion that is driven from national politics affect us when it comes to making sure that us and our families are secure. So just, you should always be taking in new information of what's going on and are reevaluating your situation and making adjustments. And with that, I yield back to the good gentleman from North Carolina.
I am here. I think that was really well said. Is Johnny still in here? I see his
icon
is still up on. Yeah, I thought that he had, but his icon is still showing. I was just making sure with literally a minute and a half left. Just gonna say, folks, definitely, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. We broke down all of these things that I see as threat vectors going forward. You need to be keeping yourself on a swivel. Obviously the way the Warriors in training. So I've got back-to-back classes, literally back-to-back-to-back classes coming up. So the night vision course, which is completely full, the RTO and advanced RTO where I have like one or two slots in RTO left. There's like two or three in advanced RTO. Get in on those. It's certainly not too late. And coming up at the end of the month, I have the big RTO course out in Plano, Texas. So if you are in North Texas or anywhere in Oklahoma, definitely you want to get in on class. I want to get you in class out there. And that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big class. We're going to have a heck of a lot of fun out there as well. Brushbeater.store for everything that you might need. Got to restock on a lot of stuff. Some exciting new products as well that I can't talk about just yet, but we're doing some product development with AGM that I think that you're going to be very, very excited about in the near future in the night vision world. So, we've talked about reduced availability of certain night vision products going forward. That still looks like it's on the horizon. AGM is working around that, and we're going to be giving more details about that later on in the month as they are coming out. But getting the opportunity to do some product development with them, very, very exciting. It's been an absolute blast. With that said, folks, God bless, good night, and we'll be talking to you again very, very soon. The NC Scout.